heaven. And I would say this morning, other than being saved, married to my wife, and being able to lead a lot of my family to the Lord, knowing that most of my family is saved, still praying for others to be saved, I would say other than those things, I would say probably the most special thing other than those is to be able to be in the ministry and to be able to serve the Lord. And I'm thankful that God not only has placed me in the ministry, but He allows me to be able to serve Him in the ministry. And I understand today that God doesn't call every man to preach, but I do believe God is still calling men to preach. I don't believe that God calls every young lady to surrender her life to marry a preacher, but I do believe that God does place that desire in some young ladies' hearts. I understand that God maybe doesn't call everybody to the bus ministry, but I'm thankful that I've been able to serve God in the bus ministry, and I believe God placed that calling in my life. But I want to talk to us today about a ministry that every single one of us, from the youngest to the eldest, we could be a part of this ministry. I don't say this in a belittling way whatsoever today, and I hope that you would see my heart. But I see some gray-haired saints of God here today that perhaps you served physically in a greater capacity than you do right now, and you can't maybe serve in the bus ministry or go out and knock doors like you used to, but there is a ministry that I want to talk about today that you can still be a part of. Maybe one of you young men on the front row here, maybe you desire to drive a bus route one of these days. You're too young to drive that bus now, but perhaps one day you'll be able to drive that bus. But I want to talk about a ministry that you can be a part of. I don't know if there's tryouts to be in the choir, but if there were, I wouldn't be able to make the choir, amen. I promise you that. But some definitely have a good choir here, and I appreciate you ministering to our hearts, not only the choir, but the Imbodens and the good congregational singing. Definitely, you're serving in that capacity of the ministry. Brother Smart has been called to pastor this church. That's a ministry that he's a part of. But there's one ministry that I want to talk to us today, from the youngest to the eldest, that every single one of us could be a part of. And I want to talk to us about the ministry of drawing nigh to God. The ministry of drawing nigh to God. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 4. Let's all stand as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. James chapter number 4. I'll begin reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." I want to take your attention again to verse number 8. "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and Lord, we certainly thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, we thank you for saving us and being so good to us. Lord, we thank you for Maranatha Baptist Church, dear God, and Lord, we thank you, Lord, as children of God, Lord, that want to bring honor and glory to you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that there wasn't one thing that was embarrassing in the congregational singing, the choir special, and the special by the Imbodens. Lord, everything brought honor and glory to you, and Lord, we certainly thank you for that. Lord, we certainly thank you for a place that we can come and sincerely meet with you. Lord, get away from this whole world that tries to, Lord, bring a wedge between us and you. Lord, we do come to you today, Lord. I pray, Lord, for these next 30 minutes, dear God, that, Lord, you'd bring a holy hush upon this place and you would speak to hearts only like you can. Lord, I pray that every single one of us would sign up to be a part of this ministry today. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I said in my prayer for 30 minutes what I meant, would you please give me at least 30 minutes. Amen. But anyway, we find here, let me lay a foundation, then we'll get right into the preaching of the Word of God. We find here that James chapter 4 speaks about the defilement of our spirit. We understand the only thing that prevents you and I as a child of God from living a perfect sinless life this side of eternity is this old stinking flesh that we live in every single day. There's not only a war that's going on in Ukraine today, but there's a war going on inside each and every one of us today, and it's a war between the flesh and between the Spirit of God that lives within us. You understand, we'll never hear government speak about the defilement, speak about defilement as the source of their troubles. They'll speak about poverty, but they'll never say anything about purity. They'll talk about education, but they'll never say one thing about degradation. They'll talk about legislation, but they'll never say anything about lust. But the Word of God here in James tells us that defilement is the source of most problems today. Verse number 1 of James 4, the Bible says this, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members?" The lust that war in your members are the evil passions within every one of us. They are the desires that are not controlled by God, but by our flesh and by Satan. May we all be reminded today that every single one of us, it matters not how long that you and I have sat on a church pew, but it matters that we must die to the flesh every single day, because the flesh's ultimate goal in every one of our lives is to give us a life of destruction. But the Spirit of God's ultimate goal in every one of our lives is to make us more in the image and the likeness of an Almighty God. And that's the war that goes on within every one of us every single day. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, "You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not." And when a person is controlled by the evil passions within themselves, that person pursues things in an evil manner. The right way to pursue things is to ask God for those things. May we be reminded, the Bible still says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Many want to know, well, what are these things that should be added unto you? Well, according to the context of the Scripture, it means clothes on our back. It means food on our table. It means shoes on our feet. But I guarantee you, we can go a step further, and it also means joy in our heart to be able to live and to be able to serve God. And God already knows what we need before we ask Him. He just desires for us to ask Him for those things. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." In the previous verse, James says, "You have not because you ask not. But some do not obtain the things they ask for." Why? Because the Bible says, James says, "Because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust." And child of God, evil lusts do not ask for things that God will grant. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse number 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thy heart." In other words, if you and I will delight ourselves in the Lord, the desires of our heart will be purified so that what we ask for will be what pleases and honors God to grant in our lives. Look at verse number 4, just laying a foundation. The Bible says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God," going in a different direction than what God would go. "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now may we be reminded, God is speaking not to a lost sinner, but to that early church, those that have been saved by the grace of God and added to that early church here. And James was warning them about the friendships in their life. I used to say to just young people in teen meetings, but may we all be reminded, even those of us that are adults here today, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You are who you hang out with, or you soon will become that person. There's a crowd of bad company. That's talking about not necessarily just the world, but that can talk about people also of the world's activities, about sports and entertainment. I'm not against sports. I'm not against entertainment. But if those things take us away from our love for God, can I say they can become bad company in our life? I think about over in Revelation chapter number 2, the Lord commends that church of Ephesus on some good attributes that they have in their life. But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And my friend, there's not anything wrong with having some activities and entertainment in our life, but don't let it take us away from our first love, that love of God. Amen. Not only is there a crowd of bad company, but when we start hanging out with that crowd of bad company, we'll start having compassion for that bad company. He talks about the friendship. James is not talking about the casual rubbing shoulders and working beside those friends every day. He's talking about becoming a friend with the bad company. And then I want you to look at verse number 5. We'll get into the message here in just a moment. Look at verse number 5. He said, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? He begins to lift up the Word of God. He says, do you think the Scripture saith in vain? Thank God this Bible right here is true from cover to cover. And the Word of God always exposes evil. Men try to cover up evil by calling it nice names and by defending it. But thank God Scripture always calls out sin. Amen. I'm not to question the Word of God. Thank God the Bible questions me. Can I say the world has put the fancy name or the nice little name of gay on it, but God says they're sodomites. The world calls it alcoholism or disease. The Bible still calls it drunkenness. The world calls it cohabitation, but God calls it fornication. The Word of God, the world calls it self-expression, but God says it's pride. The world calls it a one-night stand, but the Bible still says it's adultery. You say, Brother Dallas, that's a little bit narrow-minded, about as narrow as that Bible right there, my friend. It's not a matter of what we call it. It's a matter of what God says about the matter. Amen. The verse number 1 through verse number 5, it talks about the defilement of the Spirit. But then in verse number 6 through verse number 10, that brings us to our message. It talks about the devotion to God. Look at verse number 6. Bible says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Can I say there's not a one of us here this morning that can read that Bible from cover to cover and come away from reading that Bible in a prideful manner. That Bible right there will humble us, amen. And can we all be reminded God hates pride? And can we also be reminded smoking cigarettes and drinking booze and carousing with the heathen is not what made Lucifer, the son of the morning, into Satan, the father of night? It's what this, it's this sin that every one of us have. It's the sin of pride. Can I tell you what the majority of marriage problems are in the world that we live in? It is said today that even 50% of those that are a member of a gospel preaching church, 50% of marriages end up in divorce. Can I tell you what the most of the marriage problems in America are? It's a pride problem, my friend. Because what happens is the husband takes God off of his throne and the wife takes God off of her throne. And when the man is on his throne and the wife is on her throne, there is going to be fussing and fighting fighting and arguing. But if we'll put God back on His throne, the God of all peace on your throne, sir, and the God of all peace on your throne, ma'am, will have peace in the home. Amen. That's what the problem of most marriage problems are in America. Look at verse number 7. I've got to get into the message here in just a minute. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You say, Brother Dallas, it's a hard thing to resist the devil. Do you realize how powerful the devil is, Brother Dallas? Well, I understand how powerful the devil is, and he's doing everything he can to knock you and I off kilter. But I'm thankful as a blood-bought child of God, greater is he that is in us than he that lives in the world. And my friend, you and I cannot resist the devil by ourselves. But when God is on our side, we can resist the devil, amen. And to be devoted to God, we must submit to His Word and to His will, and that's not easy unless we are devoted to God. And all of that brings me to my sermon now. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. In other words, if you and I will take one step towards God, God will take one step towards us. If you and I will take two steps towards God, God will take two steps towards us. I'm not going to do it, but if I were to take off running, God would take off running to me. Amen. Think about that story in the prodigal son. We all know the story. He went to his father, demanded his inheritance, went out there to the far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. And we understand that the father never did come out to the far country where the son was. But as soon as the son began to make his way back to the father's house, as soon as the son began to draw nigh to the father's house, the Bible says the father took off running, fell on his neck and kissed him. And my friend, I'm glad the Bible promised us if we'll draw nigh to God, thank God He'll draw nigh to us. Amen. May we also be reminded that God is a gentleman and God doesn't force His will on anyone. But the Bible still says in Revelation chapter 3 in verse number 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. And not only does God desire, but God deserves for you and I to draw nigh to Him. That's God's purpose for every one of our lives. You said, Brother Dallas, I thought God's purpose for my life as a child of God was to tell lost sinners about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that's God's plan. Remember, there was no sin until Adam fell in the garden. And the reason that God created Adam in the first place was so that God could have a people unto Himself for His pleasure, so He could fellowship with. And God still desires that for you and for me today. Amen. Can I say I love the United States of America? And our country's in bad shape today, but I still love America. But can I say more than we need patriots in America, what we need today is more of God's people hungering and desiring to be in the presence of an almighty God. I was conducting my addictions outreach not long ago back home in Lexington. There was a fellow that came to the addictions outreach, and I probably hadn't seen him in 2 months worth of Sundays. And after I taught my class there that night, he come up to me right before church was starting that evening. He said, Brother Dallas, he said, can I talk to you for just a little while? And boy, his life was a mess. He said, Brother Dallas, he said, I'm about to lose my family. I'm about to lose my business. He said, I'm about to lose everything that I've got. And he said, Brother Dallas, he said, I just feel like God has left me. I said, no, my friend. I said, God didn't leave you. I said, all you got to do is just go back to God and God will draw back nigh to you. I said, the Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I said, my wife, I said, about 70% of the time, she'll drop me off at the airport there in Lexington. And I said, I'll go somewhere and I'll preach somewhere across the country. I said, I may leave her in Lexington, but I don't forsake her. But the Bible tells me that God will never leave us nor forsake us. I said, God didn't leave you. I said, what happens is we leave God, but if we'll turn around and draw back nigh to God, thank God He'll draw nigh to us. Amen. How many of us would like to be in the ministry of drawing nigh to God? How many of us would today? I know I want to. Let me give us some instruction that James gives us to hear this morning about the ministry of drawing nigh to God. Can I say number one? If we're going to draw nigh to God, there has to be an appetite of hunger. He said, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. There has to be an appetite. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled with what? Filled with His Spirit. Filled with His power. And as it's natural for man to become thirsty for water, and when we truly are thirsty to the point of dehydration, nothing quite satisfies like a cool drink of water. And the Lord compares becoming more like God and His righteousness to a man that is hungry for physical food and for a drink of water. That verse in Matthew 5 and verse number 6, that verse is speaking of a desire. It's not a desire for fame. It's not a desire for fortune. It's not a desire for a satisfying of a fleshly appetite. But it's a spiritual desire, a desire to be holy, a desire to hunger and become more like God intended for us to become. The Bible says in Psalm 42 and verse number 1, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Can I say from the youngest to the eldest, every one of us could be a part of this ministry, but number one, there has to be an appetite of hunger. Amen. Number two this morning, look at verse number 8 again with me. Look at verse number 8. He gives us the promise if we'll draw nigh to God, then He'll draw nigh to us. But then He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Can I say, if you and I are going to be a part of this ministry of drawing nigh to God, not only does there have to be an appetite of hunger, but number two, there's going to have to be an attitude of holiness. James says, cleanse your hands. That has to do with our actions. That has to do with our conduct. That's who we are when we're by ourselves. That's who we are, not just at the church house, but on the job site and in our car, in our homes. Men, that's talking about giving an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. That's talking about paying our bills on time and having a good testimony with those in town. Can I say, I'm totally against lifestyle evangelism as a substitute for confrontational one-on-one soul winning. But can I say it's going to be hard, sir, to win that co-worker or that friend to the Lord as long as we're listening to the same worldly music and laughing at the same dirty jokes and cheating the time clock like everyone else. He said to cleanse your hands, find out what it is, allow your conduct to back up the title of being a Christian. Amen. I don't want the word Christian just to be my title. I want it to be my testimony as well. Then look what he says. He says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. That speaks of our affections. Fellowship with God demands our loyal love to God. God desires and also deserves for us to be in His presence. And although our relationship as a child of God never changes, our fellowship can be hindered because of sin. I don't say this to, I'm being as honest as I can be this morning. My wife is, I'm thankful that she gets to travel with me this summer and we're working towards her traveling back on the road with me full time. But for the first 12 years, she traveled 1,500,000 miles across this country with me and even overseas to the Philippines and Mexico and Bahamas as we preached meetings over there. And I'm thankful that she traveled with me. But for the last 3 years, she doesn't travel with me nearly as much as she once did. But I guarantee you, every time I leave home in Lexington and I go and preach Sunday through Tuesday or Sunday through Wednesday, every time that I get back to my house, I always walk into a house that is spick and span clean. There's never a time where there's any kind of rubbish on the floor. Always the floor is vacuumed and clean. There's never a dirty dish in the sink when I get home. Now, that don't last very long, but when I walk in, there's not a dirty dish in the sink. It's always the house is spick and span clean. Can I say, my friend, your body, my body as a child of God is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Can I say, when I go to God and want to fellowship with God, I want Him to be able to come to a clean house. Can we be reminded, the Bible still says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. About 3.5 years ago, I preached a series across the country on how to minister to prodigals, and I made pleas with churches across the country that I would pray for their prodigals, if they would pray for my prodigal sister. And that I started that about 3.5 years ago, and to date, now I have 650 names inside that journal that I pray for every Saturday night before my head hits the pillow on Saturday night. I pray for over 650 prodigals across this country. Every single day, I pray for my specific family. I pray for preachers. Every Sunday, I pray for Brother and Miss Smart and their family. And all across the country, I pray for people. And can I say, my friend, you've got prayer requests, and I've got prayer requests, and there's not a single one of us that can have God give a deaf ear to our prayer because we've got sin in our life. And my friend, if you and I are going to be a part of this ministry, we're going to have an attitude of being holy before God. We're going to have to be clean. Number three, look at it with me. On that second point I just finished, my wife in my office back home in Lexington, I'm reminded of it every time I sit at my desk at home. She went to Hobby Lobby and bought a chalkboard and she put it right on the wall to the left of my desk there. Now every time I sit at my desk and I study and I pray and I spend time with God, I'm reminded of the saying that she put on that chalkboard. It said this: no man can expect to make progress in holiness who is not often and long with God. Not only does there have to be an appetite of hunger, not only does there need to be an attitude of holiness, but James tells us in verse number 9, he said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Remember, he's talking to Christians. And your joy to heaviness. Not only must there be an appetite of hunger, an attitude of holiness, but can I say, my friend, there's going to have to be an affliction in our heart towards sin. He's talking to born-again Christians that knew better towards sinning against God. And James said, I want you to be afflicted and I want you to mourn over sin. And I guarantee you this morning, if I were to ask every one of us that are saved by the grace of God, how many of us love God, we would all raise our hand. Some of us would raise two hands and say, yes, I love God. But my friend, if we're going to find out what it is to be a part of this ministry, to the extent that we love God is also to the extent that we must hate sin. Amen. There has to be an affliction in our heart towards sin. Look at verse number 10. He said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. There's no wonder today why James not only had to tell us in verse number 6, but he also had to talk about it in verse number 10 two times just in this chapter about humility. Can I say, if you and I are going to be a part of the ministry of drawing nigh to God, not only is there going to have to be an appetite of hunger, not only is there going to have to be an attitude of holiness, not only will there have to be an affliction in our heart towards sin, but we're going to have an air of humility if we're going to be a part of the ministry of drawing nigh to God. If we're going to draw nigh to God and in return God draws nigh to us, we'll have to go do it with humility. When we go to God in prayer, it's not going to matter what our last name was. When we go to God in prayer, it's not going to matter of how much I've accomplished and what position I may hold in the church. If we draw nigh to God, we'll have to come with Him with the mindset that we are the creation and He is the Creator. We are sinners, but thank God He's the sinless one. We're dirty, but thank God we're made clean through His blood. We're unrighteous, but He's righteous. My friend, can I say we might be able to put a facade on with everybody else, but we will not be able to put a facade on with God. Amen. There's going to have to be an air of humility. And if you and I are a part of this ministry of drawing nigh to God, not only is there an appetite of hunger that must be needed, an attitude of holiness, an affliction in our heart towards sin, an air of humility, But I'm glad that when we were part of this ministry of drawing nigh to God, lastly, I'm glad that He gives answers to help us. You know, when there's times, I'm just going to be transparent with you. There's times that I'm involved in this ministry of drawing nigh to God more than I am at other times. Just being honest with you. We all grow cold and callous at times. But I'm thankful that when I'm a part of this ministry of drawing nigh to God, the fear level's all the way at the bottom and the faith level's all the way up at the top. And I'm glad that God gives answers to help us when we're in this ministry of drawing nigh to God. In this world of crazy and chaotic things going on with the rebels against law enforcement and riots in our city and Russia wreaking havoc, all while the news media's ultimate goal is to cause fear in the hearts of men, I'm glad that God gives answers to help us in this world that we live in. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of the ministry of drawing nigh to God. I'm thankful that God allows me to be a part of the ministry of being an evangelism. I'm glad that He allows me to be able to travel the country and been able to go overseas. And before I was saved by the grace of God over 23 years ago, I never went on either side of Memphis, Tennessee. Never went more than an hour and a half or 2 hours on the other side of Memphis, Tennessee. And now God's allowed me to be able to travel all across this country and all over the world. But can I say I'm thankful for that part of the ministry? But there's a ministry that God wants every one of us to be a part of, and that's the ministry where we draw nigh to God. Let's stand all across the building this morning. Let's stand all across the building this morning as the pianist would come. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm not going to get you to raise your hand and admit anything to me. I guarantee you this today, there's two types of folks here as far as this ministry of drawing nigh to God. There are those that know what it is to be faithful, to spend time with God and drawing nigh to Him, and He draws nigh to you. There's folks that are faithful to read the Word of God and to pray and die to the flesh and be led by the Spirit. And those that are faithful, consistently doing that, I guarantee you their testimony would be, I desire to draw closer to them. There are those that are here today that perhaps maybe you walk with God, you read your Bible, you pray 2 days a week, and then you miss 3 days. But I guarantee you every one of us fit in this category. Every single one of us can draw a little bit closer to Him. There's not a one of us that have an S stamped on our chest that means super Christian. There's not a one of us that ever reached some elevated plane of spirituality where we never need to draw closer to God. And I'm glad the Bible promise tells us if we'll draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. Can we do this morning as the invitation starts and the pianist begins to play? If God has spoken to your heart one way or another during the message, somewhere between your pew and this altar, why don't we spend some time with the Lord this morning? If you're here today and you say, I sure would desire to have that fellowship with the Lord, but perhaps you're here today and there's never been a time where you've had a relationship with God. And my friend, the only way to have a relationship with God is to be reconciled through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask yourself this morning, has there ever been a time in your life where you saw yourself according to the Word of God, I'm a sinner, and according to the Scriptures, the Bible says my sin, there's a penalty of death and hell. And you realize at that moment the only way to escape the fires of hell was not through the baptismal pool, not through church membership, not through having a good name in society, but you realize the only way to escape the fires of hell was by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's never been a time you've done that. I encourage you today, once you step out, let one of us take a Bible, show you how you can be saved. The ministry of drawing nigh to God. And I'm glad the Bible says if we'll draw nigh to Him, praise God, He'll draw nigh to us. Amen.
Dear believer, are you as close to the Lord this morning as you could be, as you should be, as you would desire to be? Brother Chris has already said, I think the answer for probably all of us would be no, I desire to be closer. Okay, then are you going to do something about it? Are you going to have an attitude of holiness? Are we going to have an appetite of hunger? Going to have an air of humility? Because when we do, there are always answers of help. Amen. Thank you so much for your attendance today. Thank you for being here. Hope you'll be back tonight at 6. Brother Dallas, thank you so much. I cheated a little bit this morning. He taught my Sunday school class, and after he taught it, I thought he should have taught Sunday school for everybody this morning. Just a simple lesson on prayer. And boy, we need to be reminded about prayer daily. I do, because we're prone to wander. We're prone to forget. And Brother Dallas, just appreciate you being here this morning. Hope you'll get by and greet him and Miss Nikita before they leave today. Let's pray and let's be dismissed. Let me ask you, if I could, to have a few men, maybe some teenage guys, if you could help us set up some tables quickly before we leave this morning. And that'll be a help getting us ready for tonight. And many hands make light work, so if you could stay, that'll be a tremendous help to us. But let's pray. And we'll be dismissed this morning. Brother Roma Antonita, would you dismiss us this morning, please, sir?